True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to another edition of Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you. Glad to be with you live on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday, coming off of a Monday Night Football doubleheader. Did you stay up late enough? To catch the end of the second one. If not, we've got you covered. Don't worry. We are here for you this morning. We'll have Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider, tell us, is there any hope here outside of winning 12 straight, something the Royals haven't done since, Tommy, 1977 would be the last time that the Royals won 12 straight games. So we'll get into all of that with Jalen Thompson. We'll dig in a little further to the Chiefs, some of the players wearing a T-shirt. That is of interest, I think, and become a little bit of a story. So we'll get into all of it here today. It's all coming for you on this edition of Sports Daily. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company with WBC Delano's debut brew, Hatfield's Mama, a German Kolsch with a clean, crisp character, smooth and refreshing. Make history with Hatfield's Mama, Wichita Brewing Company, Delano's debut brew, available at all three WBC brew pubs. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Did you stay up late enough to finish the game last night, the second doubleheader?
I made it two drives into the third quarter.
Okay.
Yeah, that's as far as I could go.
That was a little bit later than I did. I made it to halftime, and halftime hit, and I turned it off, and I went to bed.
I'll tell you, too, I had some good bets going, two of them, and one of them needed about four or five legs from the first game, which all hit, combined with four or five legs from the second game, which all hit, but one. And I was about six Ashton Jeanty yards away from a real nice Monday night, but I got a first touchdown. So it all was okay. Even with that, I went to bed with money on the line, Tommy. That's how mature I'm getting. Made the decision, the business decision, to go ahead and shut her down instead of staying up till midnight to watch the end of that game. Only when I would have done that and they would have fallen short. And then I'd been real grumpy this morning.
Yeah, I like the idea in theory of the Monday Night Football doubleheaders. Like, you've got football starting at 6 o'clock and you're like, all right, cool. It's, you know, getting going early and we've got a whole evening out of it. And then by the time halftime of that second game hit, I'm like, why are we doing this? I don't like this at all. I just want to go
cool
to bed.
It's cool for the West Coast.
Yeah, for the West Coast. But you've got the first game. If you're on the West Coast, the first game starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday.
Yeah. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, either way. But They used to do it, and this is probably the answer. Just have them cross over a little bit,
yeah.
Right? Go 6 and 8 o'clock yeah. instead of 9 o'clock. I could justify staying up to 11 o'clock to catch the, because that was a good game too. Like, they were both good games. They were both competitive games. By the way, the Buccaneers beat the Texans on a game winning touchdown run, 20-19. The Chargers hold on in the second half, 20-9 over the Raiders in the two games. We'll dig into both of them as we make our way through. But yeah, look, I like the idea of it for sure. I don't know that I would like it every week. I don't think that I would. Not going that late. But it is fun at this point of the season to just get everybody fired up a little bit. It's like the Sunday morning games, and they play them overseas. Wouldn't like that every week. I think that'd be too much. But sprinkled in here and there, I kind of like it. You know, I kind of like occasionally getting up and watching a game at 8 a.m. while you're getting the Sunday ready and those kinds of things. But we get the first one of those, and I do think we learn a lot about some contenders. I think there was a really good set of games last night that we'll dig into throughout the show here. We'll give away some HTO on the show today as well. We've got all kinds of fun stuff coming for you, and we'll take you through all of it. What'd you think of that first game? Just, you know, at a bird's eye, the Bucs beating the Texans. The Bucs are kind of for real, aren't they? Like, if Emeka Buka comes in there and is this dynamic rookie to go with all the pass catchers, they're not even healthy. They're not even close to healthy right now at 2-0 with two pretty good wins. And I think are you really going to sit here and say the Eagles are years better than the Bucs? Or I don't know who else you'd look at in the NFC, the Rams probably, but the Packers, your Packers for sure. I don't think the Bucs are far behind anybody right now, especially if you consider they might be healthy at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's trendy to say, if only Emeka Ubuka can step in with all these other guys. He was kind of a non-factor last night. Like, he was fine, but it was Mike Evans. It was the guy who's been doing it all along for the Bucs. Like, he had couple of great catches, and Baker Mayfield has really settled in to that role in Tampa. And then it was the run game. I mean, when you've got Rashard White, who just absolutely took over in the second half, there was a drive, and I was kind of in and out of the game doing kid stuff and eating dinner and bedtime and all of that. But I was watching, you know, off and on. And one of the moments that I was locked in was when Rashard White just took the game over. And I think he had 3 or 4 runs in a row where he just bowled over tacklers and moved the sticks multiple times. And, you know, that it's a very balanced offense for Tampa Bay, which is great. And then Todd Bowles is a defensive guy. And so when you add in his expertise defensively, it's just extremely well-rounded. And they've got a little bit of an advantage, I think. It's not just that they're playing in a weaker division, but it's the fact that when you're looking at overall top contenders in that conference or even in the entire league, they just kind of fly under the radar a little bit.
They do every year with Bake too. Like,
right.
I think it's partly because of him, and I think he looks great. And Egbuka dropped what should have been another 40-50 yard catch, which was an incredible throw by Baker Mayfield. But they're going to get Chris Godwin back at some point. They're going to get Jalen McMillan back, who's okay. I mean, he's decent. Like, they're going to be loaded. And those running backs, they're missing, I think, their top offensive lineman in Wirfst. He didn't play last night, I don't think. Like, they've got a lot going for them. If they can play high-level defense, they're going to be tough. They're going to be really tough. Now, look, it's the NFL. They only won on a game-winning touchdown run, which was impressive. It was nothing lucky about it, but that was a very close game.
And look, I think you tip the cap a little bit to the Texans also. Like, I know that they are, you know, struggling. Like, they're but I think, look, I thought they looked fine last night. I really did.
If you're a Chiefs fan frustrated at 0-2, imagine being a Texans fan. And that's something I do want to talk about in the next segment, because that, as we look around the NFL right now, I think the frustration Chiefs fans are feeling, you've got to put it in perspective to what else is happening in the league. And Chiefs fans have been kind of immune to this, honestly, forever. This, it's the NFL, and it's always tight, and it's always hard, and it's a never an easy win kind of thing, because the Chiefs have just, they haven't been 0-2 in this, you know, in this era. But when you look around at it and every team that's out there, there aren't very many where you're like, oof, like something's going wrong or something has gone wrong. There's not a lot of looking at it and saying, all right, that's it. There's only a couple probably where like that team's looking good. And they're going to be awesome this year. There just aren't very many of them. And I think the Texans were a nice reminder of that. But we'll get into it on the other side. We'll get into these Monday Night Football games as we make our way through here on the program. So let's do that next. We got Jalen Thompson coming up this hour as well. Then we'll kind of bring it back to the Chiefs. What did Andy Reid have to say yesterday? What's going on with these free four shirts that the Chiefs were wearing? We get into all of it today on Sports Daily. Don't go away. It's all Brock and Caster on a Monday.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster. You can't count on much. You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Of course, you can see those games on 12 News. Thanks for tuning in to see us on 12 News Connected each and every morning here on Sports Daily on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. You can put your comments there. We can get those out over the air. What'd you think of Monday Night Football? Let's start with the first one, Tommy. Bucks beat the Texans 2019, 80-yard drive to win the game with about 2 minutes left. It's important to keep your timeouts, ladies and gentlemen. But they have a touchdown run from Rashad White to end it. It was a very balanced attack from Tampa. They ran the ball in the first half with Bucky Irving in the second half, or fourth quarter, really, with Rashad White. They have a lot of options in the pass game. They're going to have more options in the pass game coming up pretty soon. They've got a defense that's playing pretty well. And the Texans probably feel like, Tommy, with all that, they should have won that game. The Texans are 0-2. And I said this before, if you're a Chiefs fan and you're mad about being 0-2, imagine being a Texans fan and being 0-2. They're healthy. Like they're there. They're fully ready to go. And they didn't even look bad last night. So I only say that to look around the league and say, man, it is really hard to win games in the NFL. And I think as we relate it to the Chiefs, it's just been like you get used to things after they're a certain way for a long period of time. And so when you see a team that's never 0-2 be 0-2, there can be a bit of panic. But I think as you look around the league and you see other teams that are supposed to be really good, right? Cincinnati's 2-0. They just lost their quarterback. Houston certainly doesn't look like an 0-2 team. Denver lost on a game-winning field goal to the Colts. It's happening everywhere. The Ravens feel like they're a great team. Guess what? The Ravens are 1-1. So like it's all over the league this happens. There aren't very many teams that are going to separate themselves from the field when the dust settles. So just pause a minute and realize like this is normal. It's normal to do things like this in an NFL season. Chiefs have just been so fortunate that they haven't really had too much over the last almost 10 years now.
I think that first game, at least for me, tells me more about the Buccaneers than it does about the Texans. I mean, I feel like it shows that really, the Bucs are the class of that division, and you know they could potentially be legitimate contenders in the NFC. I think that really through the first 2 weeks, we've seen the Bucs and we've seen the Falcons, I think, separate themselves from the other two teams in that division. And I know the Bucs beat the Falcons. That was a back and forth game. I know Michael Penix didn't look phenomenal in that Sunday night game, although they did win against the Vikings. But they've got Bijan Robinson, and they've got a tremendous amount of talent with their skill position players. So, I mean, I think that they're for sure going to be the main challenger in that division to the Bucs. We thought that going into this season, and the Bucs have proved that. I mean, I think that Baker Mayfield showed off, in my mind, his most important asset is his clutch ability, the ability in really tight and difficult situations to come through. That's what Baker has always done. Dating all the way back to college, he did that. And so I think that he's showing that off. This is a guy that was kind of left for dead in the NFL not that long ago, and he has really found his footing in Tampa Bay. And so for me, I think it tells us more about the Bucs than it does about the Texans. I'm not panicking about Houston. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be a fine team. Will they be great? I don't know. Maybe not. But I think that they'll be fine. You know, but they definitely now have to dig themselves out of a little bit of a hole.
For sure. We're looking at, I like Baker Mayfield, who was even hobbled. The Buccaneers have done an underrated, underappreciated job organizationally for the last little while, right? You know, they go through and they bring Tom Brady in on a whim, sort of, as he became a free agent for the first time, and they have a totally different coach, right, and Bruce Arians, and they go and they do it and they turn it into a Super Bowl. Chiefs fans, close your ears, but they turn it into a Super Bowl. And they have this infusion and awesome era of the franchise. Well, then Brady's done, and it's like, oh, well, now the Bucs have got a, you know, that was a good little run that they had, and now they're going to have to rebuild. No, they go get Baker Mayfield, they get Todd Bowles. And now all of a sudden, they're as consistent as any organization in football. And that's hard to do. Like, it's hard to make transitions from quarterbacks the way they've done of the last two. And they went and they identified Baker Mayfield as a good fit. And man, is he a good fit. He looks great. He's as fun a player to watch as we have in the NFL. So I'm happy for him. And they almost lost that game. And the Texans have got to be sitting there frustrated as hell right now because they feel like they're way better than an 0-2 team. Just like the Chiefs feel like they're way better than an 0-2 team. The other reason I would say not to panic right now, if you're a Chiefs fan, look at what else is happening today. We heard Joe Burrow news yesterday. He's going to be out for a while. Brock Purdy's been out for the 49ers. Jaden Daniels is probably out for the Commanders. J.J. McCarthy is out for the Vikings. Like, the quarterbacks in this league are dropping like flies. And I don't know if that's ever going to impact the Chiefs directly or indirectly. But again, this is a crazy league, and just winning 11 or 12 games and hosting all these AFC championships is not a foregone conclusion ever. It has been wild that they've been able to do this. It was wild that the Patriots were able to do it. Otherwise, we just don't see it in this league like that. So they're going to have to work through some stuff this year, just like most teams in the NFL are going to have to work through. In the other game, Tommy, we get a Chargers team that certainly looks like they're on the ascent. The Raiders put up a valiant fight, couldn't ever convert anything into a touchdown, and they just didn't have enough. The Chargers didn't overpower them necessarily, but they got it done. Justin Herbert with another really strong performance in the 20-9 win. He was efficient as he has been. They still don't have their running game going at all. And they drafted and brought in a high-powered free agent to try and help that part of the game. But right now they haven't needed it because Keenan Allen coming back has been a real big deal for this offense. And they now have three big-time options in the pass game, a deep threat, two guys over the middle. They look like a complete team with a good defense, Tommy, that is absolutely for real. And I will continue with I think this is a better team than the Broncos because I think Justin Herbert's a better quarterback than Bo Nix, mostly. And I think they're absolutely a threat in the AFC. You know, I cannot wait to see them play and the Chiefs. Do they play the Ravens and or the Bills this year? Let me just look at their schedule. They have the Commanders, but it's probably going to be the Daniels might be back by then. They'll get the Eagles. They'll get the Chiefs. So they'll get some big time games. Can't wait to see them play those kind of teams, because what I want to know with the Chargers is, are they up at that tier, right? We know they're good, but are they like good? Are they in that?
I mean, they beat Kansas City in week one, right? Like, they showed that they can knock off the king of the mountain. Like,
but we don't think of the Chiefs the same way right now that we think of the Bills or the Ravens. You know what I mean? Like, I think the Chiefs will get there. I think we all think they're not there at the moment. So, could the Chargers in January go beat Buffalo? I think is like, that's what I want to know about them. I think they have the pieces where, yes, you could, you could start to see it. I mean, they were good last year. They screwed up that playoff game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think the Chargers are a team that throughout the course of the regular season could pile up wins. I think they're definitely built for that. They could easily, maybe not easily, but they could conceivably win the division. They could be the team to knock off the Chiefs and winning the AFC West. What we don't know about the Chargers and what has always been elusive for them is playoff success. And so that's where, like, I don't think you can make any kind of definitive statement about them until we actually see it. Like, you got to see it to believe it. And I'm not going to, after two games, you know, say, hey, this is a team that's going to go in and win a bunch of playoff games, because they've never done that before. They've always found a way to shoot themselves in the foot, even if they do make it into the playoffs. So I'm going to pump the brakes a little bit on that, but not taking anything away from them. They look spectacular after two weeks.
I don't disagree.
They absolutely do. The other thing I will say is that you can look at that final score and you can say, man, like, that was a two-score game against the Raiders. Like, maybe the Raiders aren't as far along as we think they are. Raiders are going to be fine. The Raiders are going to be, like, their record may not indicate it at the end of the year. They may have a losing record. They may hover around 500. Who knows? But they are on the ascent. Like, they're more on the ascent than like the Chargers are there. I don't think the Chargers are ascending. The Chargers are there. You know, like, they might need to get over the hump a little bit, but the Chargers are, you know, clearly one of the top teams in the conference.
Top third.
Yeah. I think the Raiders are clearly ascending. Next year, I think, will be, if they can keep the pieces together, be a team to watch out for sure. And they'll sneak up and they'll bite some people throughout the course of this season. Like, if I'm Kansas City, if I'm Andy Reid, I'm keeping an eye on Pete Carroll's team a little bit. Like, man, like, if we're not careful, they've got enough young pieces and Jeanty and Brock Bowers. And I mean, Jacoby Myers is phenomenal. He doesn't even want to be there. Like once you get past all of that, they're a really good team. And I think that they're going to surprise some people this season.
I agree. I think their defense is better than we thought. And their offense is as good probably as we thought. They haven't even really established their running game with Jeanty. I don't know why. They only gave him 11 carries in the game last night. He was running the ball effectively. I don't think the formula for them is to throw the ball 43 times with Geno and only hand the ball to Jeanty 11 times. They need a minute to get that balance figured out. But when they do, yeah, they're going to play a lot of close games. The Chargers, you know, is it as simple for you then as it doesn't matter what they do in the regular season until they get over the hump? And we see this. We saw it with Andy Reid back in the day with the Eagles, right? We saw it in the early parts of Andy Reid here with the Chiefs. Like, it's like, yeah, great. I'm glad they won 11 and 12 games again, but they never win anything in the playoffs, so I'm not really going to pay any attention to them. And I think that's totally fair, by the way. I think when you get to the Chargers, what gets really interesting about it is it was such a fluky bad game that they played in the playoffs last year, where you have a quarterback who basically doesn't throw any interceptions the entire season. And what did he throw in that game? Five.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. So it's really like, for me with the Chargers, boy, I trust their coach now. And I do trust their quarterback. I think Herbert's really good. I think I've made that pretty clear. He had a really bad game last year in the playoffs. But yeah, it is fair to say, okay, like, we'll talk to you in January. Like, I think we could put the Chargers there, right? Like, all right, well, let's talk in January. We'll see what you do in the playoffs.
And it's not just that, but there's also a history, and this even, I mean, as we all know, predates Jim Harbaugh, but there's a history of the Chargers falling flat even before the playoffs, like critical games where they could clinch or they need it to, like, and then they just can't get it done. And so it might not even be, and for me at least, we'll talk to you in January. It might be we'll talk to you in late December. Like, if there's a situation where you've got the Chargers and let's say the Chiefs neck and neck right there for the division, and we've got a week or two left in the regular season and they're tied or a game apart or whatever, who are you taking in that? You're probably taking the Chiefs. Like, that, there's a body of work of the Chiefs being able to get that sort of thing done where the Chargers don't. I don't want to be negative about their talent, their abilities, their skills, all of that, because It's there. They've proven it during 2 weeks. They're extremely talented. It's just going to be a matter of, are they able to get it done when it matters the most?
Khalil Mack left the game with injury. I just shuddered because I was checking on his status and saw it again. It was gross. But they'll probably put a brace on it. He'll probably be okay. They're very good. They've got a good coach. They've got a lot of history to overcome. But it happens for teams at some point. The Chiefs had the same thing. I mean, we could say the same thing about the Bills, right? We don't. We could say the same about the Ravens. We don't, because the Chiefs have been in their way. And the Chiefs just get there every year. And so there are a lot of good teams that are going to have to overcome that this year. My thing is right now, like if I watch the Chargers, I just keep trying to think of it in the context of, can they beat the Bills? Can they beat the Ravens in the playoffs? And I'm not there yet. And I really like the players that they have. I like their coach, but I'm not there yet. Like I watched the Ravens play. And to me, that's the team I picked to win the Super Bowl this year. I don't think anybody's looked better than the Ravens. And I know the Bills beat them, but the Ravens beat themselves in a lot of ways. Those two teams seem to be the two teams for me at the top right now. I'm not sure anybody else is with them for me. And that includes Philadelphia at this point too. Like, to me, it's those two teams and everybody else at the moment. But we saw two last night get wins that would like a word, right? The Buccaneers, the Chargers would like a word in that conversation that they belong up there. And they're certainly off to good starts. We move on now fully to week three. Hope everybody survived their fantasy leagues. Hope everybody survived their survivor pools. I know there are a lot of Cardinals fans out there sweating this past week, including our guy Brandon Zenner. He had some horror stories about the Cardinals almost blowing the survivor pool right there in week two. The guillotine leagues are getting popular now.
I needed Justin Herbert to have a good game last night, and he did, and everything was fine. But I was on the verge of getting eliminated in our guillotine league, and luckily that did not happen.
That's the way I was in the first week. And then in another guillotine league, I did go down in the first week. And then this week, that team that went down scored the most points out of anybody. I love it so much. Like, football is such a great distraction from everything else happening. Like, there's always something you can, between all these, you know, contests and the bets and all the fun you can have with it. It does like lift my spirits this time of year. It's great.
You and I are in a league that, with some local people that, you know, we go and we draft in person and all of that. I won my matchup last week, and it's a two quarterback league. I started Russell Wilson and Mac Jones. Those are my two quarterbacks that I won. I won with Russell Wilson and Mac Jones.
I lost Joe Burrow in that league. I'm not real sure what I'm going to do. I'm in a bit of trouble there. I've got to try to figure that. Hit the waiver wires. It just dawned on me that it's waiver wire day.
It is.
Hope everybody didn't have anything important to do today. If you're like me and you're in way too many of these things, it's like, oh God, this is like a 4-hour exercise.
I know what you're going to be doing during the commercial break. You're going to be putting in waiver requests.
Yep, you're right. Certainly an hour too. There ain't no doubt about that. It's good. We're going to talk baseball when we come back. One of the other reasons I was up late last night is I was watching the Rangers lose to the Astros. They're very much in it. Man, do the Astros suck, and do I hate them so much. They get a big win last night over my Rangers. We got the Royals in the mix here. Or are they? Are they in the mix? What does it take? There are 12 games to go. They are back 6 of them. And that's actually before last night's game concluded. So do they have any chance here? Do they have a shot at all with 12 games to go, now sitting actually 6.5 games back? We'll talk to Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider, about that next on Sports Daily.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And welcome back into Sports Daily, everybody. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fired up and fueled up each and every morning here on KFH. We bring in Jalen Thompson, Kansas City Star, Royals reporter. You can follow him on X at Jalen Thompson. Jalen, one of my favorite terms is it's nut cutting time for the Royals. There's 12 games left. They're 6.5 back. I mean, is it as simple as they got to win like all 12 to have a chance at this thing? They're behind right now, three teams essentially for a playoff spot. They've got to make up ground on all of them. It's going to take a miracle.
Yeah, you're going to need a Tom Cruise Mission Impossible, come out of nowhere type of savior to get this thing done. They pretty much have to win all 12 games. Everyone has said that in that clubhouse. They know that they can't lose pretty much anymore. You got an outside chance if you did win and go on a super crazy hot winning streak. Remember, they've done this before earlier this season where they went to, I believe, New York and then Detroit. They lost all those games. And that last game in Detroit, they beat Target School. And then they went on a little run when they came back home. I'm not saying that they can do that here with both the Mariners and the Blue Jays, but the Royals always play well when they're at home against those teams that are fighting for something. And if you can get through this stretch and let's say you somehow miraculously take 5 out of 6 and you're sitting at 3 games back with that last week of the season, I mean, that's not impossible, but it's kind of impossible.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen, I think we all knew that, you know, the Royals going to Philly was going to be a really tough task for them, a really tall task, taking on a Philadelphia team that just clinched their division last night. They're a really solid ball club. But really, you know, I think it goes back to them playing in Cleveland and last week and the way that that series panned out. You've got a disappointing road trip from start to finish for the Royals. What's the vibe like from what you can tell with this team now coming back home with their final homestand looming?
I think from just being in that clubhouse after Sunday's game, they still have belief that they can make the playoffs. And they should, because until you're mathematically out of it, you should always believe you have a chance to make the playoffs, right? So, but before that game against Philly, it was kind of down. Like you said, the games in Cleveland, you dropped 2 games that you should have won. You should have taken 3 out of 4 in Cleveland, but you didn't. And then in Philly, you had a game or two that you might have could have pulled out if you had enough offense. But that Sunday game, as that offense came together, you see with Salvidale, I'm sure we talked about that later, Jack Caglione, they feel like if they can just come home and have a hot homestand, that they're still in this thing. I don't know if that can be done, but if you go come out and you beat the Seattle Mariners this week, Tuesday, today, starting today, and then you take 2 out of 3 against the Blue Jays, can we say that they still are in it? We don't know. All they can do is control what they can control, which was everyone has been saying, and that's just win their game and let the rest fall where it may.
We have to consider at the moment that Texas and Houston will beat each other. Yes. So they will gain ground with wins on one of them and not the other. Obviously, if they beat Seattle, they will be gaining ground on a team that they need to chase. So, yeah, I mean, this is the week where it gets really important. And this is the week where they play the really tough games, unfortunately. Something that's interesting about this week and this series against Seattle specifically is we expect it to mean the return of Michael Wacha and Cole Reagans to the rotation, both expected to pitch this week in this series.
Exactly. Yes. Michael Wacha will be pitching today. He's coming back from the concussion injured list. He'll be out there. Cole Reagans is expected to pitch on Wednesday, and Thursday is TBA. So that could either be Seth Lugo, or they could, you know, figure out where they want to go with whichever starter that they will have available. Maybe it's a Noah Cameron, or you know, it just depends on what they want to do, right? But the first 2 days will be Wacha, and it will be Cole Reagans. And like they said, to get their horses back for the final run of the season, they were really excited about having all 3 of those guys potentially come back during this homestand. That's another thing you have to throw in there. If you're looking at the impossible of the impossible playoff run, you're getting your three starters back. And if they are who they are and you can get some runs together, you might could sneak a nice a winning streak together when you really need the most. Like you said, Jacob, I think this week is the big week because if you can go, like I said, 5 out of 6 this week, and then you sweep the last week against the Angels and the Athletics, now you won 11 out of 12. And does that get you close? Who knows?
I think regardless, Jalen, of whether or not the Royals actually make the playoffs or not, one of the major takeaways from the last couple weeks, and you wrote about this in one of your articles, has been this most recent stint in the majors for Jack Caglione and how patient he's been at the plate, his plate discipline, working counts, not swinging at balls out of the zone. He hit a home run the other night. What do you think? Where do you think his growth is right now? And, you know, I would imagine this is something that the Royals hope can continue into next season and beyond.
Yeah, Tommy, I think you hit it right on the head right there. With Jack Caglione, the most important thing that you've seen out of him is he can take instruction and he'll go and he'll work on it. And when he was hurt and he went on his rehab assignment in AAA, they said, we need you to have better pitch selection, better swing selections, you know, work the counts more. And then you'll be able to reap the success because you're allowing the pitcher to pitch into your zone instead of just trying to hit it wherever the pitcher wants it to be thrown, right? So you've seen that really on Sunday against the Philadelphia Phillies where he works the count. He gets into a hitter's position, then he hits a two-run homer. That is what they want to see out of Jack Caglione. They know the power is there. They understand that it's going to come. You can't hold down a guy from hitting 30 home runs over a full season with that kind of power that he has. It's the ability to make the pitcher throw a mistake in his own path of his swing in the zone that he wants it in. And the only way you do that against big league pitchers is you have to work the count and pretty much not hit where they want you to hit. And once you learn that, then you can soar as far as you want to soar. So I think it's really good that Jack Caglione has learned that lesson, and his walks have been up since he's came back. And I spoke with him in the clubhouse, and he was really happy about his walks being up because that's what he wanted to showcase when he came back up here.
Jalen Thompson, Royals beat reporter for the Kansas City Star, joining us. Carlos Estevez did not end up going into the game. They called it back tightness. Everybody's saying it's not a big deal. He's saying it's not a big deal. He could have pitched through it. Any other word there? Is he expected to be fully available and ready as normal here down the home stretch?
He said, you know, it was a precautionary thing why he came out of the game. He didn't want to push it. He understood what's ahead this week. So he knew that he's probably going to need to be pitching in a lot of these games coming up, especially if they're trying to win almost every single one. So he was like, it's better for me to not push it on Sunday and make it worse than what it is and just be ready to go. He said it's very minor. He said he can pitch through it. So I believe he'll be fine.
All right, Jalen. Let's go 12-0. 1977, the last time the Royals went 12 straight.
It's going to
never
be
better
hard.
Time, right?
Yeah. It's going to be hard. I know we say that they got to do X, Y, and Z and it's possible, but it's going to be tough. I'm just going to tell you right now. It's going to be tough.
Yes, it is.
It'll be hard.
Yes, it is. Seattle tonight at home, 6:40. It's Waka. It's Gilbert. One thing you know about the Mariners is they're always going to throw a good starter at you. We'll see. That offense is going to have to lead the way, Jalen. It's going to take one of those heaters here.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
We're hanging on by a thread. We've tried. Tommy's tried the jinx. I don't know what else to do.
But this is baseball, right? Anything can happen.
I do contend that if you have a team – as we get to this part of the season that is playing for something, you've had at least a baseline successful year. They're 500 on September 16th. It's not where we hoped they might be, maybe even thought they might be.
It's exactly where Vegas thought they were going to be. But they, you know, chip in a chair with 2 weeks to go. It's pretty hard to beat that, I guess.
Remember when we talked about it, we said, would finishing 500 be a success for this team, or would it be a disappointment? That's kind of where we are now. Like,
what we're looking at. It's felt like, I think it's felt like a disappointment a little bit.
I think I'm being
fair to my own expectations, but if I'm being realistic, it's probably fine if they go 81-81. But you know, fans probably don't agree with that sentiment. They need something more, and 12 wins in a row, they might get something. Jalen, we'll look for your work. The KC Star. We'll follow you on X at Jalen Thompson. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Jacob and Tommy. See you guys next week.
There goes Jalen Thompson. I don't know, Tommy, you've had the good fortune of being a Braves fan where they generally always win. I don't know, 500. We're going to have to really reflect on that, I think, after the next 2 weeks on whether or not this has been a successful season.
Yeah, I mean, look, my gut reaction, I don't want to say disappointment, because I feel like as long as you've got Bobby Witt Jr. and kind of your core of guys, the window's not closed. It'd be different for me if this was like the last gasp and we knew that they were going to be losing a lot of players and, you know, the core going away and all of that. By and large, we've talked about it before, they're going to return the majority of their team next season. And whether or not that's a good thing, I mean, like, I think we can have that debate.
Well, yeah.
But I think just in as far as like this particular season, I feel like that window is not closed. And so I'm not going to call this season a disappointment, even if they miss the playoffs.
No, look, it's hard. It's hard because they have, even outside of the wins and losses, like, they've set themselves up for future success. That's a part of this season too, right? The early work that they've gotten from Caglione will help him in the future. Locking up Seth Lugo, the revelation of Noah Cameron, like, there's all kinds of things that will have happened this year that helped them going forward. And I do think, as I want to say, no, I expected them to be better, to be disappointed. I do have to look with this organization. You got
to
look.
Did you expect them to? Did you expect them to be better than last season, or better than what they are right now?
I think I had them in the World Series. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Because I love their starting pitching.
Those are two different things. Like, better than last season, or better than what they are right now.
I expected them to be better than last season.
Okay.
100%. Yes. Things have happened over the course of this season that derailed that. Cole Reagan's hadn't pitched in it forever. So, like, I think we have to readjust that. But that we'll dig deep into that. But let's see if they can win 12 in a row first, and maybe we won't have to. We'll come back. We got another hour of Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We're glad to be here with you on a Tuesday, recapping Monday Night Football, looking ahead, a couple of Chiefs storylines to dig into as we get ready for week three now of the NFL. Start to maybe look ahead to some of the college football this weekend. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring the Pep Pep Pepperoni Pizza, topped with sliced, cubed, and deli-cut pepperoni. Pep Pep Pepperoni, now available in a lunch or full-size. Wichita Brewing Company pizza and beer made here. Glad to be here with you. Speaking of the Chiefs, is it time to panic yet? Tonight at 6, right here on KFH, we've got the Chiefs Kingdom Show and then Royals Baseball. KFHradio.com or the Odyssey app. Chiefs Kingdom Show will be interesting right now. The Kingdom has been kind of on all of our minds, Tommy, as we make our way through everything. Did you see this free four stuff for the Chiefs?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't catch it until yesterday, and Andy Reid was asked about it and just said, they're just trying to support Rashee Rice. And I'm like, okay, well, that's actually probably a good explanation, and young guys are going to do that. And then it's like, well, wait, Kelsey's not a young guy.
Like, just wear a Rashi Rice shirt. You don't need to say free for. He almost killed people, right? He ran away from the scene of a, you gotta be smarter than that. That's a distraction now. It's a distraction. This is a team that doesn't usually have those on the field. This is now an on the field distraction. You gotta step in and be like, yo, dude, like, let's not say free for he did something really bad. Like, he still has to go to jail for this. Let's just wear a shirt that says Rashi Rice because we like the dude and we're fans of his and he's learned from it and everything else. Free for though.
Yeah, I feel like there was, you know, probably somebody and I guess it falls on Andy Reid's shoulders to be like, hey, we're not gonna do that. Like, the probably not a great idea for you guys to do that because it's gonna get unwanted negative attention.
He said after the game, he said, I didn't even know they did it.
Well, yeah, right. And like, I feel like there was probably a dropping of the ball somewhere. Like, somebody probably should have known, and it probably should have gotten back to the big guy. And he probably should have been like, we're not going to do that. Like, not a good idea. His explanation was fine. I get it. I get those guys wanting to support their teammate and whatever. But at the same time, the outside noise around it is not ideal. And you gotta be better than that. You gotta know that it's going to attract negative, unwanted outside attention that right now with the team that is 0-2 is the last thing you need.
Last thing. Like the absolute last thing you need is that.
Like, do I particularly care that they wore the shirts? Not really. No. I mean, it's a little tone deaf. It's a little tone deaf. I get it.
I don't
really care. I didn't lose sleep over it. I'm not shaking my fist at the clouds that they did it. I don't really care all that much, but there are people that do care and there are people that are loud that do care. And it's an unwanted distraction that you really don't need right now.
Typically, they don't do that, and they're also not at a time where you want to deal with it, right? If they're 2-0 and everything's going fine, you probably don't worry too much about it. But yeah, look, I don't think anybody is wearing that shirt and saying it's okay to cause major wrecks on a Dallas highway and almost kill people. No, and I don't like. I think they're. I think Andy Reid is correct. Like, they really are just trying to support their guy, and I am totally fine with that. I hope more than anything that Rashi Rice is very lucky and has learned valuable life lessons and is a bit like, I believe in that stuff wholeheartedly. I really do. So no, it doesn't, like, it's not like bothering me because I'm not going to make a mountain out of a molehill. Nobody's saying what he did is okay, but the perception is you're not taking what he did seriously. And there are people's lives impacted forever because of it. Like, what if you were one of the people that went to the hospital and almost died, or the loved one, and you see that? Like, really? Like, you don't care? Like, that we're sitting here, like, I don't know. You know, I think it's just, it's the wrong play. The intent is what it is. And I don't think the intent is anything sinister. But the perception of it is just, it's not something that you need. So, that happened. If you miss that, if you see that, that's what that's all about. Andy Reid was asked about it again. And I didn't see that. I didn't see Aaron Andrews' interview with Travis Kelce. Like, I was behind on that because I was watching the early window games. I didn't, you know, I wasn't watching Fox's pregame coverage of the Chiefs Eagles game. I was watching the end of the 12 o'clock window games. So some of this stuff went right over my head until I went back and, you know, I'm trying to, you know, show prep and get ready for the news and like look through all of these things and what are these storylines that we're looking into. But, you know, that kind of took the headlines away from Monday as far as the Chiefs go with Andy Reid and everything else. There wasn't a lot in there, really. You know, he, of course, says he trusts his guys and, you know, everything is going to be fine and you know, whatever. But they don't have, like, you, if you just, like, it's hard to look at this thing and not be real concerned about how many of these games are they going to win until they get healthy, right? We just keep assuming, yeah, they'll get in, they'll be a wild card team. But man, their schedule never lets up this year, especially if the Raiders and the Colts are good, Tommy. Like, what is the relief point of this schedule? How many games, I suppose you could put the Giants in there, but that's a road game. how many of these games can we look at that are on the schedule right now and say, oh, yeah, that's a Chiefs win? How many?
Very few.
It might only be the Giants.
Yeah, but like I said yesterday, I don't think you waltz into MetLife Stadium thinking that you're going to crush the
Absolutely
Giants.
Absolutely not. No.
But let's be fair about this. Where's the relief point for any team in the NFL at any point in the season? Like that doesn't exist. Like I feel like, yeah, there's probably a little bit of a sliding scale. Like some schedules are easier than others, depending on if you're playing on the road, playing at home, the timing of the games, when teams are peaking, when teams are not. Like I get all of that. But at the same time, it's the NFL. Every game is difficult. Every game is tough. Well, any team can beat any team in any given week, right? So, like, I think, like, let's be fair about it and not just say, like, yeah, like, we can't pencil in any wins for the Chiefs. You weren't going to be able to pencil in any wins for the Chiefs anyway. Like, I don't think you can pencil in any win for any team at any time. I just think that that's impossible in the world of the NFL.
For example, and I agree with you, and it's the problem is it's not, you know, you can't count on the Chiefs right now to just be what they always are because they're not at the moment. But if I look at the Bills' schedule, they're going to play the Jets. They're going to play the Dolphins three more times. They have a game against the Saints. They have New England in their division, right? They're going to catch. We'll see about Cincinnati, whether Joe Burrow's there or not. Like there are games on their schedule where you're like, okay, like, yeah, you can look at those and feel pretty good about it. And most teams, I think, have some of those.
That's the difference. Like your language right there, that's the difference. Games that you feel pretty good about. That's totally fine. Like, I think you can have that conversation versus, yep, that's a Chiefs win. Like, pencil that in for a win.
Oh, no, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, I think you can feel good about games or feel bad about games. But even if the Chiefs were at full strength, I don't think that and I wouldn't do this for any team at any time, say, yep, that's going to be a win for that particular team. Look at what the Giants did with the Cowboys. Like they took the Cowboys to the brink. And I don't think very many people, if anybody, thought that that was going to happen in that game in Dallas, even though Dallas is what they are. I'm sure that there were probably some folks out there that, like, from the beginning were like, yep, pencil Dallas in for a win, and it wasn't that easy. The Colts are 2-0. They walked off the Broncos over the weekend. I think everybody probably looked at that game, and they're like, oh, man, like, Bo Nix and Sean Payton and the Broncos are ascending. Go ahead and chalk that up for a win. It's the NFL. Wild things happen all the time.
Right. It is feel good about. There aren't, like, look at the schedule right now. And look at what we know the Chiefs are dealing with, right? Like, it's not like perceived anything. We know they're not going to have Rice for four more weeks. We know that Worthy is going to play with a brace probably the rest of the year. We know that they don't appear like a juggernaut running offense anyway. Like, we know all these things. We know Kelsey's a year older. We know all of these things. So if we look at the schedule now, that's what I mean. Like, how many do you even feel good about?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that once you get to the end of October, you get to that Monday night game against the Commanders. There's probably three games out of that stretch that I feel pretty good about. I feel good about the game this weekend in New York. I think the Chiefs will win that game. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for them, but I think they'll win that game. I feel pretty good about the Chiefs on the road in Jacksonville. The Jaguars, I think, are better than what they were, but I still feel pretty good about that particular game. And I feel good about the Chiefs at home against the Raiders. Like, those three games, I feel pretty solid about. I think there's a pretty solid possibility that by the time we get to that Monday night game with the Commanders, and at that point, Rashee Rice will be back, but I think there's a pretty solid potential that they'll be 3-4 going into that game.
Yeah, I think so. It's just the point of all of it for me is none of them will be easy. They're going to beat teams that right now we perceive are probably better than them. They may lose one or two that's not the case, and the opposite is true. We'll dig in, of course, to all of it. We'll have more on the Giants game. We can take early looks at the Giants game. And then what in the world is going on with quarterbacks in the NFL right now? Stick around. We got more Sports Daily coming your way.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great part of our lives away from the show. Maybe a great part of your life. Give them a call. Ask them about all the memberships. Never better time to go play golf. The weather has been ideal. The course is in great condition, of course, with all this rain and all the trees are cleared from the crazy summer storms. Give Crestview a call. Tell them we sent you. Ask about all the different kinds of memberships that they have available. Tommy, we look around and we've kind of danced around this a little bit today with all the things we've talked about. The Chiefs is like their road is going to be a difficult one this year. But man, there are a lot of difficult roads right now that teams are looking at, most notably through injuries to starting quarterbacks. I know we always have injuries in the NFL. Man, I don't remember having this many quarterback injuries in week three. Like we have a ton of them in the NFL right now. It's just like one after the other this week where it's like, who is going to start these games? We're going to see Carson Wentz and Jake Browning and Marcus Mariota. What is this, 2019? Like, what are we doing here?
It's funny. Have you seen all the conspiracy theorists on social media about Carson Wentz and J.J. McCarthy and the whole situation with the Vikings? So apparently, and I'll admit, I didn't watch the very end of the Vikings-Falcons game. I went to bed with a couple minutes left, but I guess the final drive for the Vikings, there was at least one play in particular where McCarthy ran the ball and looked perfectly fine. Like he didn't look injured at all in the game. And then all of a sudden there's this, like, he's got a knee sprain. He's going to be out for 2 to 4 weeks. And there are some conspiracy theorists out there that think that he's not really injured and that they're trying to have him save face a little bit and bring Carson Wentz in to give McCarthy a little bit more time to get accustomed to playing in the NFL. I have no idea how accurate that is, if that there's even a shred of truth to that. But it is kind of interesting because, yeah, if you go back and you watch the way he played, like he was running the ball like crazy and it never looked like he had any kind of injury at all.
Yeah, I wonder, too, if people are misremembering what Carson Wentz is and has been for a long time, which is not a whole lot better than what we've seen out of J.J. McCarthy, to be perfectly honest. I don't know. That would be bizarre. I think it's probably more of a young guy just didn't even fully understand he had a high ankle sprain, maybe. I would be stunned if they were going to those levels to make sure they get Carson Wentz.
I don't know. I'm not pushing this narrative. I'm not pushing this theory. I'm just saying I've seen it floating around out there a lot that maybe he's not actually injured and that it's the Vikings trying to protect his feelings a little bit.
Some people say the planet is flat. Some people have really good evidence to support it. I'm not saying that it is, but some people are saying, you know, it's one of those things. Look, I don't know. That would be a really bad sign for the Vikings if that is true. That would be much worse, I think, than if his ankle was actually sprained. Like if they have that little confidence in their rookie quarterback after 8 quarters of football that they feel like they need to go to Carson Wentz to save their season, that would be something, certainly. Jaden Daniels could be out. We know Brock Purdy is out. We know Joe Burrow is out. Like there's another one, that we learned yesterday too. It's just, it's dicey. And I say this all the time. I want good quarterback play for every single team in football. I do not like watching NFL football when quarterbacks are bad. It's not as fun.
How do you feel about it? Cause isn't it Vikings and Bengals this weekend? So won't we have Carson Wentz and Jake Browning facing off against each other?
I feel like we dodged a bullet that's not a primetime game. That's not a primetime game, is it? I don't think it is. That's what would normally happen. Like these things happen and that game would be destined to be played on Thursday night, right? You'd get that kind of matchup for Thursday
night. It's a noon matchup. Bengals on the road in Minnesota.
So we can all just ignore it is what we can do. Which is greatly appreciated. What are the primetime Dolphins Bills? Why? How are we going to get?
You don't
Dolphins,
like Dolphins?
Bills?
What's wrong with Dolphins Bills? You don't like that?
The fact that the Bills might beat them by 30.
I like it because there's a whole heck of a lot of drama. Like obviously the Bills look really good, but I mean like things are falling apart quickly for Miami, and it's kind of like watching a car crash. Like you don't want to look away. Mike McDaniel. is probably coaching for his life, and people are calling for him to get fired. And I saw odds yesterday on what college program is most likely to have Mike McDaniel be their offensive coordinator next season. So, like, things are not good right now in Miami. So I kind of want to watch that game just because it's kind of like a car crash.
I saw one of the sarcastic sites have the meme of McCarthy vows to have his post game comedy routine tightened up by
McDaniel.
Four.
Yeah, McDaniel.
Yeah, McDaniel.
Did you watch that press conference? We didn't even talk about it. No. Did you watch that press conference? I'm not kidding you.
Absolutely not.
I thought that it was fake. I thought it was AI generated and not really his quote. It actually was his quote. He said, I mean, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have it verbatim, but he said something to the effect of, you know, if you want to win the game, you got to win the game. You can't lose it. Great. Thanks, Mike. That very, very insightful commentary from you.
Yeah. What's he supposed to say? Yeah. Like, I've never been a believer in his, not because of like anything against him personally or whatever. And I would imagine he is a good offensive coach and all these things, but because like that vibe never works for a head coach in the NFL. Like, there has to be at least a little bit of, like, tough guy vibe. Or you have to be a former player or something. Like, the non-former NFL player that tries to be Joe Cool in there and, like, relate to the guys. And
who was the last one? Probably, like, Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, I know he was a former player.
A little bit.
Kingsbury was probably the last guy.
Fan. Yep.
Todd Haley was that way when he coached for the Chiefs. Like, he wasn't a player. I think he tried to be, he tried to be a tough guy, but I don't think it worked. I don't think players really responded well to it.
It's not, and I'm not saying you have to be a former player. I don't believe that either. I just mean, like, you can't try to be too cute and cool. Like, you either come in and you're a total ass and you just like force the respect that way. And I'm not saying this in life. I'm not saying this in any other, but like with NFL coaches, you've got to get the respect some way. And it's either through absolute old school hard nose or just being so good that you command it. Like Andy Reid, for example, like you command respect because everybody knows you're the best at what you do. Or you can be like Mike Tomlin and just, or Mike Vrabel and just be like, you know, absolute no nonsense. But the cutesy stuff, man, it just doesn't work in the NFL. And it's not going to work in Miami at all.
There were a lot of storylines from the weekend of coaches and their quarterbacks getting into it. I mean, even like the quarterbacks that are healthy, the injury stories, like that's the big deal. But we saw Sean Payton and Bo Nix get into it on the sideline where they're barking back and forth at each other. I don't know if you saw Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence, like Cohen's yelling at Lawrence from the sideline on something and Lawrence just looks at him and like waves him off. And they had to talk about it in post game, like everything's fine with us. Our relationship is good. There were a couple examples of quarterbacks and their coaches going out.
You gotta have it though. Like you gotta have that. And like, I don't feel like McCarthy ever is in the middle of it with any of his guys. What did I say?
McCarthy.
Why do I keep saying McCarthy?
Oh, Mike McCarthy or JJ McCarthy.
Yeah.
Mike McDaniel. Yeah. He's not in it. And you know, things are falling apart at the seams with Tua. Tyreek looks extremely unhappy. There was the clip of Tua sailing a pass 20 yards over his head and Tyreek is bouncing up and down like a bunny on the ground, you know, like just
most
he's
accurate
so
coach he's ever had, right?
Most accurate quarterback,
100%. Yeah, I'm all over the place. I'm thinking about this now. So we're talking about JJ McCarthy, Mike McDaniel. There's also a Mike McDonald coach in the league. Like, can we stop with the names being this similar? Yeah, no, it's a mess. It's not going to get any better. So to the point of Bills Dolphins, meh. The one thing I'll say about Bills Dolphins on Thursday is it should be a good game to bet. It should be a good betting game.
Well, I think we'll get to see the Dolphins melt down in primetime again and you know, at the hands of the Bills, which, I mean, that'll be interesting to watch. I wanted to get your take on this because this happened last night. We haven't talked about it at all. How do you feel about the controversy of Tom Brady sitting in the coach's box with the Raiders, with the headset on, listening to the game, like all of that, knowing that he's a broadcaster, knowing that he is a minority owner for the Raiders, that got a lot of play last night on the broadcast, that Brady's sitting in the coach's box.
I don't mind it. I don't care. I do think you can walk and chew gum at the same time. I'm trying to think of like where that would. Tom Brady's a minority owner of the Raiders, right? The coaches, they mentioned in the broadcast, talk to him 2-3 times a week, right?
Yeah.
He is in a position to get inside information for the specific game he's about to call. So, like, unless he's calling a Raiders game and going into those prep interviews as a broadcaster, but he's already, if I understand it correctly, pretty restricted.
Not anymore.
In those interviews.
He was last year. The NFL loosened up the restrictions a lot. So, like, last year, he couldn't be in production meetings. He can be in production meetings now this year. So, he's sitting down with the other coaches, with the other teams, leading up to these broadcasts.
I've never been in one of those at this level. I don't imagine that they're going to give anything that has anything more than the game they're about to play. I think at some point Brady's going to have to make a decision. Look, walking away, was he getting paid $40, $50 million a year to do those games? Like, that's pretty hard to walk away from. I think his heart is not there. Ultimately, his heart will be in ownership, I would imagine. So he's going to have to make a call at some point. It's the Raiders and the Chargers. I don't think he has any of their games coming up. Doesn't really bother me.
I don't know. I'll tell you, like, where if this is the way it's going to be, and it sounds like it is, you know what? Like, this is the situation that the NFL and Fox and Brady and the Raiders, they've all put themselves in this situation. I'll tell you right now, if I'm an opposing coach for whatever team, I'm going to keep it pretty close to my vest when I'm talking to Tom Brady. I'm going to be very, very careful on what I share with him. If the NFL isn't going to look out for me and my team, if they're going to put a minority owner in the room with me and he wants to know inside information to prepare for the broadcast, but I also know he's going and he's talking to Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly multiple times a week, I'm going to be extremely guarded. I don't care. I could coach an NFC team. And I'm going to be extremely guarded because, hey, like what? Like, I could face these guys sometime down the road. Like, I'm going to be very, very, very careful in what I share with Tom Brady.
Yeah, look, I think they are anyway. I don't think they're ever going to give anything away to any broadcaster that they feel like is going to cost them a game. The question is, does it take away from him as a broadcaster? Probably not. He's Tom Brady. Like, he has enough insight even when he's not talking to coaches, as in last year. And I would wonder too, like, I've always thought it made more sense to have Brady in the studio than at the games. I think it'd be a better fit for everybody. But would you be bothered if, let's say, during the bye week, Sean Payton, who's been a broadcaster and been pretty good, like, what if he jumped in a call and was a color guy? Would you feel like, oh my God, like, that's such a conflict of interest for Sean Payton to be a color guy?
I wouldn't love that. I wouldn't love that. And here's the thing. Like, it's pretty common for coaches, like, when their teams get eliminated from things, to go and be in the studio. I don't have an issue with that at all. You've got guest studio analysts or whatever you want to call it going in. I've got no issue with that whatsoever. Throwing them into the booth when they've got access to the teams and the players and the locker rooms and all of that, the meeting rooms, I'd have a little bit of an issue with that.
I don't think they have the kind of access people are making it out to be. They have a couple of interviews with the coaches to get some information on thoughts and things.
But you're talking about him being an active coach on a bye week.
No, I'm just saying, like, I'm just saying, like, even if that happened, I'd be like, you know what? That's fine. Like, I think we're making a little too much of it. I'm more concerned that he's a good or a bad broadcaster. I think his heart is in ownership. I think he has a vested interest financially, obviously, now in what the Raiders are doing. So yeah, I don't need a lie detector to tell me that Tom Brady is more concerned right now about the Raiders and what they're doing than any other team in football. That's the conflict of interest. But that's going to exist whether or not he's in meetings, whether or not he has a headset. I know.
But don't you think also
bias toward that team? That's his team.
Don't you think also that there is a little bit of an obligation that he's got because he is putting a headset on as a broadcaster for Fox and they're paying him an incredible amount of money to have some journalistic integrity? Like, isn't that part of it too? Like, shouldn't that be on the table where it's like, hey, look, you know, I'm honoring my commitments with Fox and I'm not going to be able to share any kind of information about anything I get. Like, how many times have you done a story in your career where you are like, you're not going to go and share inside information with somebody else because you're a journalist
all the time,
right? Like, that's a pretty common part of the job.
It is. I guess it comes down to, is Tom Brady a journalist? And I don't know the answer. I don't know what I believe about that. To be perfectly honest with you, I think his position is more of an entertainer than a journalist. I sometimes, like, if we're talking about the news, that's an easy answer. Yes. Like, integrity, all those things. When we're talking about sports, it's an entertainment platform. Like, Tom Brady's job is to entertain us before anything else. He's not a reporter in a press conference. He's not going to be the person tasked with asking a really difficult question about a difficult situation. He is tasked with entertaining us while a football game is being played. So I'm not sure. I don't have a solid answer on that. At the end of the day, I think Tom Brady's either an entertaining broadcaster or he's not. And that's all that matters for what he does for Fox. Like, that's it. Right. The other stuff, I don't pay as much attention to it because his priority is going to be the Raiders. Like, I know, like, again, like, if anybody thinks it's not, like, it is, he's got a vested interest in that. His job for Fox is to entertain us. So he's either entertaining or he's not. And he's either, you know, the NFL and the teams, like the teams, if they say, Tom Brady, you can't come to the meetings, I don't have a problem with that. And I think if he's good, if he's a good broadcaster, he'll be successful whether he can or he can't. I also think sometimes I like broadcasters that can both educate us and entertain us, play color guys. But I got to be, I'm far more interested that the color guy entertains me than educates me. Like, I want to be entertained while they're on a broadcast. I want to have fun with it. That's why John Madden is the king of color, right? He knew more about football than almost anybody. But that's not what made him so great. What made him so great is he entertained us. So for me, the priority there is that those guys do that. If they get restricted or they're not restricted, I don't worry as much about it because I just don't think coaches are giving those guys a whole lot that they're going to take away from that moment anyway.
I think the bad news with that particular logic, I don't think you're wrong about the entertainer part of it. The bad news for that is that I think Greg Olson's a better entertainer than Tom Brady. It rubs me the wrong way so much that Greg Olson got demoted because he's a better entertainer than Tom Brady is.
But is he more popular? He's not. Like, Fox is going to make their call. I think Olson's better at it too. I don't think Brady's bad. I just think Olson's really good. It's Tom Brady. There's not a bigger name in football. I get what Fox is going for. I don't think they're going to renew his contract either. Just like, for a lot of reasons. We'll come back. We got more Sports Daily. Don't go away.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. You want to win some HTO? You can right now. Text in to win. T is the short code. Text that word to 20357. TEA to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. That'll get you a free cup of iced tea. You can come in and try the all new caramel apple iced tea. See your pumpkin and raise you caramel apple this time of year. Come in and try it. East Wichita, West Wichita Derby. Good luck, everybody. We come back in. We looked at only one game of the upcoming week in the NFL schedule. It's not as headliney, I don't think, Tommy, this week with the games. Broncos-Chargers has very obvious appeal to everybody. Lions-Ravens is the headline game. I think those two games are your only, like, absolute. I suppose Rams-Eagles. So we're looking at three games in three windows. You can get Rams-Eagles. You can get Broncos-Chargers. You can get Lions-Ravens. If you're just looking for games on Sunday and you want to watch those three, those are playoff-type matchups. But I, with the quarterback injuries and everything, we're not quite as juicy as we have been.
Can we talk about for a second how the Chargers have three divisional games to start off their season? If they beat the Broncos, they're 3-0 in the AFC West. And then all of a sudden, like, the Chiefs are 0-1 in the division. The Chargers, if they win this game, will be 3-0 in the AFC West. Like, that's wild that their season starts off with three divisional matchups back-to-back-to-back.
When the Chargers beat the Broncos.
I'm just saying, like, isn't that crazy, though, that they're playing three divisional games?
Plus a trip to Brazil mixed in. They've had an interesting hand dealt to them. The Lions on the road in Baltimore. I hope that game is close and as fun as we think it will be. Rams Eagles. Tommy, I'm real close to making a bold prediction on that one too. I like the Rams.
Really?
They're off to a nice start.
Okay.
Yeah, they're on the road. I think I like them plus 3.5. I want to make it bolder.
I mean,
they won,
but they didn't. They're not looking overly impressive. Like they're doing what they need to do to win, but it's not like they're dominant. They're not boat racing teams. They're gonna have to have a better.
Maybe Tennessee on the road by two scores.
Yeah, Tennessee hung in that game for a long time. It was a couple of scores late from the Rams that pulled it away. But Tennessee competed with them for quite a while.
For sure. I think two things can be true. Tennessee is better than we thought they'd be. Cam Ward looks pretty good. The Texans game they slogged through. Here's the problem for them against Philadelphia in the noon window, coming from West Coast to East Coast. There's that factor. It's back-to-back road games. There's that factor. Like, I want to say, because I think the Rams have a chance to beat them in the playoffs, but this is a tall order for the Rams. All of those typical like betting things are going against them this week. But we'll see if I can talk myself into it. And then there's Chiefs Giants, Tommy, in Sunday Night Football. Early look at that game. I actually like the Chiefs quite a bit in it. I think it's a pretty good matchup for them. We talked yesterday. There's like a Cam Scatabo thing that keeps lingering in my head. If the game gets ugly, then the Giants.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With Scatabo and with there are two things that scare me. A tight, ugly game with the Giants having that kind of player and perhaps an ability to extend drives longer because they can pick up short yardage situations. That spooks me a little bit. The other thing that obviously spooks everybody is Russell Wilson still really good at one thing, and he has the perfect receiver for it. If we thought George Pickens was the perfect receiver for him for a little bit, Malik Nabers is even better, right? He does have his moon ball with Nabers out there trying to run him down. And how many of those are going to hit in every game that they play this year? A couple?
Well, and it's not just Nabers. I mean, what I like about Wandale Robinson on that team is that Nabers is going to get all the attention. And that, like, right. He's going to get bracketed. He's going to get double covered, all of that all the time, because he's such a dynamic talent. And that should leave Wandell Robinson a lot of opportunities. I've got him in a couple of fantasy leagues. I'm starting him across the board where I've got him. And it's not a knock on the Chiefs secondary. It's just that that's what Russell Wilson does. And he showed that against the Cowboys. I really think that the way that the Giants win this game, or at least keep it manageable, is they've got to just go balls to the wall, throw the ball 50 yards as much as they possibly can. And that's where they could have some success. I'll tell you right now, and I might change this. I reserve the right to hedge a little bit as the week goes on. Right now, I kind of like Giants plus 6.5 in this game. Mm. I think the Chiefs will win the game. But man, right now, I kind of like that plus 6.5.
It's hard. It's just hard imagining the Chiefs outside that margin, right? Right now. However, it is the Giants. I don't think they're very good. I think the Cowboys defense is atrocious. And I also don't want to overreact to the fact that they found success against the Cowboys, because I think the Cowboys defense sucks. And the Chiefs defense does not suck. You know, what will they do? I mean, the Giants defense looked terrible against the Cowboys too. So I'm paying more attention to how bad the Giants defense looked and baking in the Chiefs defense is not the Cowboys defense.
Yeah, but also, I mean, the Chiefs have almost zero pass rush right now. And you know what? That actually might be okay, because if I'm Steve Spagnuolo, I'm not blitzing hardly at all. Like, I might have a couple well-timed blitzes on Russell Wilson every once in a while, but by and large, I'm going to want my defense to drop back and, you know, let Russell Wilson beat you with intermediate passes. You know, don't let him get that deep ball going, because that's where they can't have success.
Yeah, I get it. I just the problem for me is the Chiefs are going on the road and expected to cover more than a touchdown number. The Chiefs, like, that's a big ask based on what we've seen in the first couple of weeks. But my goodness, like, here's the elephant in the room. If they can't go in and impose some will on the Giants, I don't know that they're going to be able to do that to anybody this year. And so what does that mean? All that means is all of their games are going to be really, really close again this year. And are they as equipped as they were a year ago to win those really close games? I don't think they are right now. I think they can be before this season is over. But there is like a mental component to this game to me that the Chiefs...
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They just kind of need one where they go in and they kind of beat up on them a little bit. And the Giants are the most beat upable team that I see on their schedule right now. And that includes the Titans later in the year. I think by the end of this year, the Titans are likely to be a better team than the Giants. So like, where do we, like, if it's not now, it may not be ever that they go have a cozy win. I'm not saying they're not going to win games. I'm not saying any of that. They just may not have any where they win by a score, right? They may all be tight like they have been in the past. And that'll be a little troubling, right? Yeah. I mean, that's a little unnerving.
And you know, when you look at, I know you mentioned Cam Scatabo, and I think he will be a guy that will be a really solid running back for this Giants team. And I think that when we saw him get a lot more carries in week number two, I think he'll continue to grow in that role. I'm not sure that he is somebody that I'm going to target, like from a props perspective in this particular game, only because the one area defensively that the Chiefs actually had somewhat of success in against the Eagles, they were able to limit Saquon Barkley to an extent, right? Like Saquon still got 88 yards.
They've always been pretty good about
Saquon. But they limited him to 4 yards a carry, which is under what Barkley usually does. That's one area where the Chiefs defensively were pretty solid, and that was in stopping the run. And so while I like Scatabo a lot, and while I feel like he'll be a bright spot on this Giants team long term, I'm not penciling him in to have a big game on Sunday Night Football.
I don't think he'll have a big game, but I think he could be a problem. And again, it's, to me, it's just like having him in the arsenal if it's third and two to keep the Chiefs offense off the field. One of those frustrating kind of games, one of those, you know, to a lesser degree, but like K-State versus Army, right? When you're like, God, we just can't get them on the field. That's what Scatabo can do to them in this game. But again, I like the Chiefs in the game. I think there is a get right component to this game in a big way for Kansas City. And this is about the only chance they'll have to do that. A game coming up in week three, kind of popping into mind based on some of the stuff we're talking about. Cowboys Bears, Tommy. Ben Johnson, everybody's favorite. Looks a little tough right now. What do we make of the Bears? They got blown out. They're actually favored against the Cowboys at home on Sunday. I don't know what to do with that one. I mean, you know, logic says hammer the over probably, but the Bears right now, they've looked really good early in games when kind of everything is scripted out, and then not at all at the end of games. I can't believe their defense has looked as bad as it has, but that's it. You know, that was everybody's Ben Johnson. He's, you know, Ben Johnson.
They're two games in. They'll be okay.
I know.
They'll be fine. I mean, like, you've got
to lose to the Cowboys. They're 0-3.
Yeah. I mean, by being fine, I mean, I think that they'll get it figured out. I don't think that they are a contender. I don't, you know, I've got them missing the playoffs, but they'll be okay. Like, I think that Bears fans, I understand that, patience is not a virtue for Bears fans, and especially with everything that's gone on with that franchise,
they've earned that
year after year. Like, I totally get it. Yeah. I respect it. Yeah. I think they've got the right head coach. I think they've got the right quarterback in Caleb Williams. I didn't think so at the very beginning. I think they've got the right quarterback. I just think it's going to take a little bit of time for them to gel and get it together. I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, I hope so. I want it to work. I do. I enjoy watching the good Caleb Williams play, right? When he is on, he's fun to watch. And I think the Bears is a there are those franchises where you're like, man, I kind of do just feel bad for them at this point. They fit that bill. But it looks like a good week three, maybe not as top to bottom grade, but there are good games sprinkled in there that should entertain us. Oh, the Jets, aren't they dealing with a quarterback injury too? That was the other one I couldn't remember earlier. It's the NFL, man. These injuries suck, though, and availability is a big thing. And as much as we see Mahomes running, and as much as we love that part of his game, does that ever creep into your head? Like, it did last year because he was getting sacked all the time.
For sure. I mean, there was that play that he lowered his shoulder and like trucked the guy.
He needs to stop doing.
Like,
that.
Oh my God! Like we.
Like, we're playing, get it, Pat. Yeah. You can do it. Like,
we're playing with fire here a little bit.
You're
like, let's be a little careful.
No, like, you're not old. Like, we get it, but let's stop doing that, please. Like let's not do that anymore. All right, we'll come back. We got more Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Right. True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.